Welcome to Sefer Daniel, a book close to my heart. Daniel Ish Chamudos, as he's called. This is a story of Daniel's life, effectively, and it's cryptic. The book is very cryptic as we get to the visions towards the end of the Sefer. What happens is like this. We finish the Golus Bovel. Well, we finish the conquest of Yerushalayim, which is the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash. Daniel is taken to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar. He's aged only 13 years old. He's taken with three friends, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. They're going to be famous later. These are the brightest youth, and they're put on a three-year course to teach them Bovel, its language, its culture, and secular disciplines. As part of that, they are supposed to be given raw wine, fed from the kitchen. Daniel is asking only for kosher food. Wisdom of Daniel is lauded by the Gemara in Megillah. Chacham Adif Minavi, a wise person is greater than Navi, is a reference to Daniel. There's a machlokes whether his visions towards the end are actually Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh. But we're going to see Daniel interpreting cryptic dreams as well. And just an important point over here, which is firstly, what happens to Daniel? We're not told what happens eventually to him. And secondly, what is the chronology of the kings? Because it's very important, we're going to see different kings in Sefer Daniel. What is the order? There's a bit of a machlokes here. Rashi in the Ralbag quotes Seder Olam. What is that? And what is the order? First we have Nebuchadnezzar, then Evil Marduch is his son, then his son is Belshazzar, then there's Daryovesh, then there's Koresh, then there's Achashverosh, and then Daryovesh again. Right? The first one is Marduch, the second one is Poras. Those are the seven kings. Okay. Koresh, just for frame of reference, was the one who initially allowed us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that is opinion one. The Malbim quotes a different view. He quotes the Radak and the Balamor. The Radak is on Chagai, and the Balamor is Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That there was a king called Achdarshast after Daryovesh of Paras, and it was him who allowed us to build the walls of Yerushalayim. So that's that. The Rashi says no, Achdarshasta. It's a bit of a tongue twister. It doesn't mean, it's not a name, it's a general word that means king. Right? That's important to note. What happened to Daniel at the end? So some people say he retired, he went there to Israel with Ezra to build the Beis HaMikdash. Others say he was Hasach in the Purim story and he got killed maybe at the end of the Purim story. That's Daniel's end. What else do we need to know before embarking on our trip of Sefer Daniel? So the Malbim writes that Prokim Zayin to Yud Beis were written by Daniel himself, but the rest of the Sefer was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. We're going to see a Jew in Golus. We're going to see a Jew who is obstinately clinging to Masorah, to tradition, even in ways that sounds a bit dangerous. We're going to see how a Jew behaves, a committed Jew in Golus, even though everything is taken away from him. We're going to see Sefer Daniel. Perek 1, Perek Aleph of Sefer Daniel, works as follows. He's taken to Bavel, he's exiled from Yerushalayim, and this is, it says it's during the third year of Yoyakim. But Rashi says it doesn't mean the third year of his reign, it means the rebellion of Yoyakim. Either way, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're forced to learn Bavel, they're fed a special diet, they're given Babylonian names. Daniel is now called Belshazzar, which is a form of idolatry. Hananiah is called Shadrach, which means a young spoiled child. Mishael is now called Meshach, which means drawn to wisdom. Azariah is Abednego, meaning a servant to idolatry. The sort of Sadiagon says all this. This was in contrast to their Jewish names, which of course, they all have Hashem's name in them. They didn't want to eat the bread and the wine they were being fed, either because wine was idolatrous, it was used for idolatry, Matzudah says. The Ralbag says that they were preempting a gezerah on non-Jewish wine, which of course wasn't instituted yet, but they felt the reasons of the institution were there, such that they should avoid it, which is assimilation. Daniel has a deal which he brokers, which he had only kosher diet of water and simple zeronim grains. He requested these because also, says Rav Sadigon, they gave bad smell, produced bad smelling breath, which would mean that he wouldn't be defiled by the king or his servants. Only Daniel requested this special diet because he was the one who was slated for idolatry, and he felt he could therefore risk his life, he says the Malbim. But nevertheless, he procures food for his three friends. There is a bit of danger here, because if their complexion changes, then they're going to be found out. Not only that, the royal chef who initially agreed to this, he's going to be found out. So therefore, he gives them a 10-day trial period. These are the Aseres Meitshuva from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Now, interestingly enough, we have a very strong halacha to avoid non-Jewish bread during the Aseres Meitshuva. Of course, we try and avoid it all year round, but the Shulchan Aruch says especially during the Aseres Meitshuva. In fact, what happened was they were healthier than everyone else. They looked even better than everyone else. So you get rewarded for choosing the right thing. Danani Mishal Nazaria, Hananiah, Daniel, Mishael, and Azariah are selected as the choice used. They were the cleverest, they were the wisest. And he says about Daniel, he understands all visions and dreams, and even more so. The final posuk says that Daniel lasted until the first year of Koresh. Again, a machlokes, Rashi quotes in Pasuk Chavala, which Koresh was. Was it the Koresh before Achashverosh? Was it the Koresh afterwards, who was also known apparently as Daryavesh? That is all up for debate, but that is Perek Aleph of Sefer Daniel.